Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Tell Siri to dial the fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. We got bright lights. We got a big city. And you know what? We got a bunch of big shots, but we can't find them. Back-to-back nights, we got to give the big shot to former players. Tonight, GT, like a good Gleyber, Torres was there. Yeah, Gleyber broke the game open tonight, getting his revenge. He had that little knock to drive in the first two. Then he grounded out to drive in the third run, and GT back with the rat tail and the braids and the fade, looking like a different man with a beard. He's getting the last laugh. He's getting the last laugh. He's on a Tigers team that has taken the series, the season series from the Yankees for the first time since 2011. And, he's a professional hitter, man. He got a rough go out of here, but I know. You know, Gleyber was a losing player, and Gleyber was a, you know, space cadet and all that, but good for Gleyber, man. Good for Gleyber. I'll give Gleyber the big shot of the night as he drove in three, tied with Riley Green for the most ribbies on the Tigers. Listen, man, it is what it is. We're going to talk about it, but, like, Aaron Boone was just asked in the post game, what gives him confidence in this bullpen? He said, track record stuff, who they are. And if you listen to me, what I just said is that you have guys in these different roles that they're not necessarily used to, not necessarily comfortable with. They don't necessarily know who they are. Mark Leiter Jr., Why is he a priority? Why is he a first option? Why is he somebody that can always pitch back-to-back days? No. It's more bad than good. The bad outweighs the good. Like, Camilo Duvall, he was bad. He got right. Then he's bad again. And, you know, he's wild. And he looks like a guy that is just like, hey, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why you put me here. It's not working here. I'm a closer. I can't do this. And, you know, like I said about Luke Weaver was your closer that got you to the World Series. The ferocious jungle cat, Weavy Wonder, Dream Weaver. Like, all we talked about is how he's got the heart for it. He's got the look for it. And now it's like, all right, we're trying to put him into these different roles. Or, like, even, why are you even throwing him today? Why are you even throwing him today? Just to raise his ERA up? I don't know, man. I don't know. L. Two L's. Now you lost the series. Now you're at the point of this final exam where I'm starting to get worried. Well, I'm not worried. Like, I got off the roller coaster August 8th. But at least what I wanted to see was, you win each series against these postseason teams to at least fool us a bit, you know? At least make us think. Make us think that, you know, you could potentially meet them in October, which it doesn't matter. It's a new season in October. It's way different stakes, way different energy, way different vibes. But you wanted to see the Yankees beat the Tigers in their own building, coming off of them losing to the White Sox and the Mets in their building. You wanted to see them beat the Tigers where they're not facing Tarek Skubal, and they won't. Like, we don't need to use Tarek Skubal against these guys. We're all right without him. Don't get swept. Don't get swept. Like, it is starting to be super frustrating and annoying how they are home run or nothing. Gordon was just in here. Gordon Damer filled in for me Friday. And, you know, I was just talking to him about, Friday's game. I was like, I ended up going to sleep on Friday's game because I was up in Connecticut getting ready to play in Bernie Williams softball game. And, you know, obviously Cam Schlittler didn't have it. And they jumped all over him. And all that the Yankees had was a Giancarlo Stanton solo shot. And it's just like, bro, like, how many games have they had this year where that's like, they lost that last game in the Twin Series. All they had was a belly solo shot. And I remember getting on air then and saying, like, this happens too much. Now, it can help them sometimes. Like, there are games that they can win when they have 9 home runs and they just bludgeon people. But there has to be a different way to manufacture runs. It's baseball. Can we go station to station? Can we get on? I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you guys. I just think that, like, there's too many of these games, just like these two. You only scored 3 runs in these games. Aaron Judge solo shot, belly solo shot, Austin Wells solo shot. It's not going to do it. And you know what they did? They will take their walks. They will take their wild pitches. I was so confused in the stadium at the time with that wild pitch that, like, got called a wild pitch with Wells and Mark Leiter Jr. I was like, what the hell happened here? It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. Mark Leiter Jr. comes into the game. Mark Leiter Fluid Jr. Mark took a lighter to the game back-to-back nights. So I don't know what to tell you guys. Yankees lose. You guys tell me. Avery's in St. Louis on the Fan. Avery, what's up, man?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
It's going fine. You know, it is what it is. I'm not really mad. I'm just talking about...
That's because you're off the roller coaster, so it's fun for you.
Yeah, I'm in the amusement park, and I'm watching the ride, and I'm literally at the game tonight watching. And I'm like, I'm about to go. It is what it is.
Well, I'm typically not a fan of roller coasters, but I happen to like this one. And these types of losses, they're really... They're difficult because they don't wrench your gut like when you give up a lead in the ninth inning, you know? But they take life out of you so quickly, and it's such a large, like, so much of it at once is drained out of you, and you begin spiraling, right? You're worrying now, and I always thought this. I always spiral about the Yankees. That's why I love and hate baseball and my team. But it's the idea that if we play a wild card series, no matter what kind of wild card series it is, whether it be at home or on the road against Boston, against the Tigers, I know it won't be against the Tigers, but whomever it's against, Houston, whatever. If we can't, number one is if you can't win game one in a wild card series, you're losing that series. And number two is if you can only score runs one way and you only have so many games to make up for your losses, you're not winning. The Yankees will not win a wild card series, Keith.
Yeah,
I don't believe that.
You're going to face good pitching. I guess we should give some credit to Jack Flaherty, who came back to Yankee Stadium and kind of exercised some demons from the World Series. He was good tonight.
Yeah. But what becomes they got to figure it out with the bullpen. But I believe that there's a better chance of them figuring it out with the bullpen than there is of them finding a different way to score runs. While you can't implode, you got to make up for it a little bit.
Yeah.
If you score more runs earlier on, that...
Right, then you have some breathing room. Yeah, like the bullpen has some breathing room. They don't have to come in and be...
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Perfect.
And with all that being said, I mean, there's nothing else to say. It's just some nights they come so close. They were 2 games in back of the Tigers. Now they're lucky that the Blue Jays, now they're lucky that they're only 3. And we could either go on a massive free fall again after the bullpen was bad, just like we did in June and July, or we could figure it out. But how am I supposed to believe that going into Boston now, if they can't win tomorrow, that they're going to figure it out?
You can't.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Avery. You can't. You can't think that unless you're just the glass half full eternal optimist with this team and you're not really watching. you're not really watching, or you refuse to believe what your eyes are seeing. Like, they needed to win this series and go into Boston feeling like, we beat the Astros, we beat the Blue Jays, we beat the Tigers, you're next. Gary and Waterbury on the Fan again. What's up, G-Makes?
I smash teeth, F your beef, no relief, I step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith. There it is.
Yo. It's good. Yep, there it is. Yeah, we're bringing it back. We're bringing it back tonight. Foo Philly, Foo Soto, and Cashman sucks. We're bringing it back tonight. You know I've been saying that for, decades. And until Cashman and Boone are gone, it's the definition of insanity. Hal is satisfied with just making the playoffs, and then we're supposed to roll with that.
I don't know, bro. It's just like they have a bunch of good players on this team. They did make moves at the deadline. They did pay players in the offseason. It's just like, it's just something
that's
about
on the cash.
It's something about the culture, and it's also Aaron Boone, man.
I know they both got to go.
They're not going
they
anywhere.
They both got. I know, but that yeah. So we're in the same cycle, and I got it. And I need a final score, Dallas Giants. I need a final score from you.
Now, let me do some figuring. I'll get it to you by the end of the night. Thanks for the call, Gary. Final score, Dallas. I don't even know what the over under is. I do think the Giants will score their first touchdown of the season. I don't know how. I think it'll be a big play. We'll get to that. Trust me. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Yankees bullpen, Aaron Boone, and his itch to go to guys that we're like, why are you going here? Why? But we know why. We're not dumb. That's the thing. It's a culture thing, and it's a I joke about it, but I'm like, oh, is this guy's throw day? And I didn't watch the game at home. Any of you guys take a screenshot of the bullpen budget? When I watch the game at home, I always take a screenshot of the bullpen budget because it tells you the script. Tells you who's going to throw. Tells you what they're going to do. It is so predictable. So, Brian is in West Palm, Florida on the Fan with us next. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, hey, just give me a chance to talk. I don't want to be repetitive. Aaron Boone has no clue. When the game was 2-0, why didn't you go to Weaver earlier on? I'm tired of Cruz. I'm tired of this Duval. And I'm really tired when Leiter comes in. Leiter should not be on the in the bullpen. It's really bad.
Well, Cashman traded for him last year, and they see something in him that we don't see. Maybe it's the family ties. I think they do care about that.
And I spoke to you months ago about lack of contact hitting. You know what I'm saying? And I want to be repetitive with some of the other calls. Why is it always all or nothing with the Yankees? You know what I'm saying? You're constantly hitting to double plays. I mean, Detroit is not that great a team. I don't see greatness in them, okay? If the Yankees get maybe Aaron Boone should go longer with Rodon. Go longer with Luisio. Go longer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you have to go seven innings with him, and they're throwing 120 pitches, that's what you have to do, because then you go.
But they don't feel Rodon that way, because we had an off day on Monday, and here we are on Wednesday. There are guys in that bullpen that had multiple off days. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why when I talk about their throw days and their lanes, they have some guys that, hey, you're up. We're going to use you. No matter what the situation might call for, you got to go out there and get the job done. And they didn't get the job done. So it makes Aaron Boone look bad. But also, like, some of these guys have been trash cans. Thanks for the call, Brian. Fernando Cruz, I wouldn't include in that. Like you said, you're tired of Fernando Cruz. Why? He's been excellent. He had an off night. I gave him a pass last night. That I put on Boone because it's like, you have to go get these guys. Like, you're watching the game. You can affect the game. To me, it's two walks. One walk, all right, that's going to happen, especially with these umpires. Sometimes you get pinched. Sometimes you don't get a call, whatever. Second walk, we got to go talk to him. We got to, hey, wait a minute. Like, we got to stop the game. But then, yeah, it just gets out of hand. And then, like, you give them an inch, they're about to take a mile. The Detroit Tigers, they've been waiting to get right. They've been struggling a little bit here. So they come to the greatest stage, New York City, Yankee Stadium, and they face your bullpen, and they tee off on them. Back-to-back nights, bro. Back-to-back nights. Like, too many runs. Like 19 runs off of the bullpen. That's not good at all. It's not good. I don't know what to tell you guys. I just think that there is talent in the bullpen. And it's funny, right? Like, we just can't get right. Don't pitch Devin Williams. They don't for 2 days. Devin Williams can't be blamed. Don't play Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe can't be blamed. And there was just no hits. I'm looking at Judge. Like, Judge, that's a tough night for you, buddy. You had the opportunity. You got to do it. Judge looked like he was in postseason form. Judge looked like he was in postseason form. And when I'm looking at the lineup, even like, okay, so like Amed Rosario pinch hit. Well, McMahon had a double, which, okay, good. McMahon had a double. It was one of the only hits. Rosario pinch hit, single. Caballero had a hit. Dominguez had a hit. But like these hits that came late, It's over, man. It's just not good enough against a team that's supposed to be a measuring stick team. AJ Hinch, former manager of the Houston Astros, out managing Boone again. Just looking across at Boone like, you'll never get me, bro. You'll never get me. Never. It doesn't matter who we have out here. So, yeah, don't get swept. Just don't get swept. And then we'll move on to Boston and we'll hope for the best. Robbie is in Lenox up next. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, it's another episode of Play Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes with Aaron Boone, Keith. Yep. Okay, can you explain to me? Okay, here's a question for you. Who would you rather have in the game? A guy who you're paying $27 million who's won 16 games, or Mark Leiter Jr. with a 5.51 ERA? It's really easy to figure it out, Keith, don't you think?
You got to preserve these guys for the run to the World Series, though. Can't push anybody. And, you know, six innings.
I'm sick of this crap.
I'm kidding, man. I know.
I mean, I hate to be redondant, and it sounds like it's repeating itself.
Rodon hit the triple digits, man. Once you hit the triple digits, you can't go any further than that.
I'm tired of bullpens. I mean, I'm 60 years old. You know what we put in the bullpen years ago, Keith? You know what the reason was for? Three reasons when a guy came in a bullpen years ago, right? Okay, this is the reason. One, the guy stunk. Two, the guy was ineffective, okay? Okay, or he's tired.
Those were the reasons for taking him out.
Those were the reasons for taking him out. Now you just take him out for the sake of taking him out. And I want to tell you something about this lineup, okay? I am so sick of watching these guys strike out. He can't hit Jack Flaherty like he's all of a sudden Cy Young tonight. I mean, what is – can Brian Cashman understand, okay, you did a crappy job at the trade deadline, Brian Cashman. You know why? And I've said this a million times, Keith. I'm so tired of repeating myself. This team hasn't had a catalyst since Johnny Damon. This team does not play with the eye of the tiger. When do you ever see this team get the hell on base and just try to make something happen? Zero after zero after zero after zero. And I'm so sick of looking at box scores. Here's the Yankees, one run on five hits. And, you know, it struck out seven times in five innings against Jack Flaherty. I mean, your last call is absolutely right, and it's become a repeated story for Brian Cashman for the last 27 years, or whatever, the last 15 years since 2009. Nobody can put the damn ball in play. It's so annoying to watch these guys take it fast. It's like the gas house gorillas, Keith. I tell you, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. What's right? Right?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that reference, but yeah, they're pressing. Jazz got rung up early in the game, and that was definitely a ball. It was low. It was outside the zone. After that, he had another one, and, Flaherty ends out. I think he ended up striking out the side in his last inning. Yeah, and then Jazz struck out again. Wells struck out. They're all trying to hit the home run. They're all trying to be the hero. But you know who should have been the hero? Aaron Judge. That's why I say he was in postseason form tonight. I am not somebody that is going to shy away from criticizing Aaron Judge. That was the game right there. Judge comes up. Who else do you want on? Stanton or want up with two on? Stanton maybe? No, Judge. He's the best hitter in the world. The best hitter on the planet, right? Grounds in a double play. I don't know. And I joke that he's in postseason form, but this is a postseason team. Jack Flaherty pitched all the way to the World Series, won the World Series last year. I say he exercised his demons because if you remember, Judge, Jazz, homering off him. I think Stanton might have got him too. But they won that game. And, I mean, he hadn't pitched in Yankee Stadium since. But whatever, man. Where we are with the New York Yankees is the offense is too reliant on the long ball. And literally, Buck Martinez said it. And that's why I started the show with him tonight. Like, oh, buddy had a day and a night. I know he's probably somewhere laughing. He said he didn't do social media, but I'm sure somebody relayed the message. Hey, the Yankees got whooped again. And that one measly run that they scored was Austin Wells with a solo shot late after the game was out of reach. You're right. Their fans don't want to hear it because it's the truth. The truth hurts. I've been saying it. I don't believe in this team. I love the Yankees, you know. Shout out to my guy, Ade. I think I see you in the chat. Ade was with me today. We were shooting a blog. And he asked me, like, what do you like about the Yankees? Like, what is it about the Yankees? I'm like, honestly, man, it's tradition. It's their history. It's, you know, when I was growing up, watching them win World Series, the players they had, the moxie they had, the intensity they had. It's like the Yankees represent excellence, or at least they used to. Like, you put on a Yankee hat, you put on Yankee gear, you feel like a winner. Or at least you did in the past. I don't know. Now it seems like the Yankees are about other things. They're about playing players that shouldn't be playing. They're about pitching guys that just, oh, this is this guy's day or lane or where we see fit. Or there's like no feel for the game. There's no urgency. The approach is off at the plate. I don't know. I look at the Yankees and they have so much talent, but I feel like there is not enough time for them to magically just put it all together. Carlos is in Clifton, New Jersey on the fan next. What's up, Lowe's?
Peace the Rhymus, Mama's Finest.
Hey.
What's up?
You know, hanging out until I start. I'm about to start cooking up this NFL talk. They're not ready for that. I'm about to talk about every game.
I was going to call you about the Knicks. That's how upset I am.
We can talk about
already
the Knicks.
I'm ready to go to basketball. Oh,
Ben
my
Simmons?
God, this is crazy. Come on. He's turning down $3 million?
What an idiot.
This guy's crazy. What an idiot. Well, listen, I just, like, watching baseball. I'm 54 years old, watching the Yankees, big-time Yankee fan for a long time. I remember taking my youngest son, and they had Denny Nagel pitching. And I took him to a game, and I dropped, like, 150 before we even got to our seats. That's how way back I go.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't understand. This analytics has killed the game. All these guys bat 190 now, that 190 to 210, and they're trotting them out there every day. Nobody can hit the ball the other way. Everybody's just trying to swing for the fences. You even see on some of the swings, the ball's like way outside, and we're like at home, like, what are you swinging at? Stanton came out hot. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, he's swinging at pitches he never used to swing at before.
Yeah, like, guessing and pressing. That's what these guys are doing, guessing and pressing.
No, I don't think, I mean, I'm a big-time Yankee fan, but I'm just trying to figure out what the Cashman was thinking about with the outfield situation. Okay, Grissom, maybe he wasn't counting on him to be as great as he was, and I think that's what it was. So you bring the Martian up, you're trying to develop him. Now he's barely getting playing time. Bellinger, you got to resign next year. We're not bringing Chris back. You had Spencer Jones down in the minors killing it. They could have brought him up. They didn't bring him up. You think he could help us in a ball? I think he could. Like, I just don't understand. I just want to hear what you got to say about next year and going forward. how you think the Yankees are going to look, because I'm telling you, I'm done with this year. I didn't even watch tonight's game.
You didn't even watch the game, but you turned on the fan and called in. I appreciate that. You know, I'd love to see them give Grish the qualifying offer and him take it. I'd love to see them pay Cody Bellinger, but you know Scott Boras is going to drive a hard bargain. And I mean, we've all seen it, and you know, Belly's going to have over 30 homers, and he's going to have a ton of defensive highlights playing multiple positions. There's going to be a lot of people bidding for his services, and the Yankees gave up Cody Poteet to get him. I just think they have to go ahead and pursue him. Not Kyle Tucker. I'm good on Kyle Tucker. Cody Bellinger. And if Grish goes somewhere else, so be it, because Belly could play center. And then you got to figure it out between Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez in left field. Spencer Jones is going to be able to play left field. And then Judge will be in right. But how long? You know, I say this every week now. I hate that Judge is hurt. He just got hurt throwing the ball. So all those people that say he's injury prone, they say, yep, there it is again. All those people that say he's big, he's going to break down. He's breaking down. Stanton will be here again next year, but he's supposed to be the DH. So, you know, what do I see next year? I'm more excited for next year than this year because Gerrit Cole will be back. And what we've found in this pitching, we're going to have a ton of pitching. And Marcus Stroman's not going to get a start. And Carlos Carrasco's not going to get a start. So, like, next year, they're going to be stacked. Next year, they got to figure out the shortstop position. Jazz will be back at second base. At first base, Ben Rice will probably be your first baseman. Bring in a right-handed catcher maybe with Austin Wells and let Ben Rice really spend the offseason working on his scoops. There was one tonight that I think McMahon threw. I don't know what he was looking at. The ball bounce went right by his head. I'm like, he needs work over there. You saw before the game today, you know, Volpe working with James Rawson, and that's what's got to be done. But it's unfortunate that they let it get to all the way to now September 10th and 11th. Good morning, good morning. That like our starting shortstop, who's on the marquee. I heard Evan talking about how he sees him on a billboard. Yeah, he's the poster boy for Charles Tirrett. And I tell you guys how I come out of ShopRite in Hoboken and buy Yankees tickets, he's right there. And it's like, that. And this is a guy that they have to work on this late in the season. We're weeks away from the postseason. It's like, something is wrong with that. They're supposed to know better than that. They're supposed to be smarter than all of this, all of these problems late. They're supposed to have figured this out by now. This journey started in February. Really, this journey started, you know, last year when they lost in the World Series. It was supposed to be an origin story about like a comeback, like a team that was mocked and decided to tighten up and retool and get reconfigured, you know, on a war path to avenge that loss. Could they still do it? Yeah, I'll give you that. Could they still get to the World Series? Sure. And will I be at every single postseason game? Hell yeah. And maybe that's the last thing. Shout out to Ade again. You know, give me a prediction. A bunch of people would have, well, give me your prediction. I'm like, you know what? The only prediction that I want to put out there is that as frustrating as the Yankees have been this year, all the mistakes that have been made with the bullpen and, you know, embarrassing losses and games they either get smoked or games that they lose by one run, maybe this is just the year that the cosmic energy just connects and, I don't know, they just get super hot. Maybe they do need to play their first ever three-game wild card series. I hope that they host it. And maybe they don't need a bye week. Maybe they're forced into action and the bats come alive, the pitching locks down, and they get back to the World Series, and who knows who's waiting for them. Maybe it is the Milwaukee Brewers, and that stage is too big for the Milwaukee Brewers. Maybe it is the San Francisco Giants, and the stage is too big for them. Maybe it's the Dodgers again, and they get the ultimate get back. But I don't really believe that. That's an Aesop fable. That's a fairy tale. That's a make-believe story that I'm just putting out there because I love baseball. I love the Yankees. I want to see it continue all the way to the Fall Classic. But if they get smoked in the wild card round, wouldn't be surprised. 888-808-1019. I'll say good morning again on the other side, and we'll start talking football. Maybe I'll get some Mets takes in too. Mets fans, come on. Come on, Mets fans. There are Mets fans like, Keith McPherson, you're the last person I want to talk to right now as we're collapsing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Good morning, good
morning.
It's going to be okay. Okay. Things will change. It's just a bad couple days of this week. I'm talking about the Yankees and the Mets, not the current events. Keith McPherson on The Fan. You know, with the Mets, it's just a tough spot because they have owned the Phillies. It's just a tough spot because as I talk about the Yankees pressing and guessing, that's what they're doing too at the plate. Juan Soto got right tonight, Marte a little bit, but you know, as soon as you get something going, they can't come through. And it's hard to continuously have to play from behind. It's hard to continuously have to come out of holes. And it's crazy how we're the Spider-Man meme. You know, these guys that the Mets traded for at the deadline in the bullpen, they have been disappointing too. Gregory Soto gives up 4 hits, 4 runs tonight. Ryan Helsley, you can't, like, he took 1 step forward to take 2 steps back. Come on, Ryan Helsley, you can't lock it down there. So it kills your hope. It kills your hope for October because even if they get there, nobody wants to limp in. But you know, that's all we have is a saving grace that it's a different season, it's a different energy. Anything can happen. We'll forget all about this as long as they get in the dance. But the Mets are on panic time. The Mets are on point the finger at a lot of different people time. The Mets are about a week away of losing. Like they have to, they have to correct this. They have to win. They got to go on a winning streak. And it's just like there are teams standing in front of you that are playing for their seasons and getting into the postseason and jockeying for position as well, where they're not going to go quietly. And you're literally relying on kids now. No pressure, kids. Jonah Tong, Brandon Sproat, Nolan McClain, carry us. And I don't think I've mentioned David Stearns' name yet, but there's just no way David Stearns can actually say this is the plan. When's his next media availability? He can't. Like it looked like a little bit of a plan, but like you can't really say that your plan was to go with the kids because then that means you were looking more to evaluate this year than to challenge this year. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones. Phil is in Sheepshead Bay on The Fan. Go for it, Phil.
Hey. How you doing? Early good morning.
Good
listen,
morning. I'm good.
I watch these guys stand there. Sometimes I think they're major league ball players. What's going on? They can't hit a fastball. They get into the field and they regular plays they have trouble with.
Yeah, so if they're not playing the White Sox or the Nationals or the Cardinals, yeah.
They can't beat the teams that I think they're beatable, and you know they go to spring training. What the hell are they doing with them down there? They teaching them the basics? I don't know.
Same dimensions as the Bronx. They're hitting home runs down there.
Yeah. Well, home runs are good, but small ball is good sometimes also.
You got a bunch of home run hitters. They lead the league by a lot in home runs. That's by design. They're designed to hit the ball out of the park.
Well, David Stearns, I don't know what his plan is, but I know one thing. When it comes to New York City, it's not Milwaukee. He has no clue. And I'm going to say it over and over. I don't care how many times people praise him. This is what he did for Milwaukee. We're not a small-time business here. People know their baseball. They go to a game and they look at what's going on. They say, hey, what's happening? What's going on with this team? I'm going to leave you with that. Have a good evening.
Yeah, I'm looking at David Stearns in year two, and I'm saying, what did he do to shore up this run? What did he? Because I mean, he inherited a lot of it last year, and you know what he did? He said, we don't need a Grimace, we don't need an OMG, we don't need Candelita, we don't need Luis Severino, we don't need Jose Quintana, we don't need Harrison Bader. Twice he said that. He didn't want to pay him, and he also didn't trade for him. We don't need Harrison Bader, and Harrison Bader has done nothing but make you regret that decision. I don't know. I would love to ask him. And I think people are going to ask him in his next media availability. Like, was this your plan for the year? You sign Juan Soto. You go get Pete. Now, injuries have crushed the Mets. We can't leave that part out of it. Now, like, Jesse Winker's not coming back to help. Tyler McGill supposed to be coming back. He just had a setback. Griffin Canning looked like the most shiny object coming out of Jeremy Hefner's lab. He tears his Achilles, you know. Jose Siri was down for a long time. A.J. Minter, who they went to get for the bullpen. Karma kicked his ass because the first thing he did on Amazing Day was talk about all the, you know, the other fans in town. Like, excuse me, sir, nobody asked you about Yankee fans. But, yeah, Underdog MLB reports the Mets dropped their third straight series, their third straight game in the series against the Phillies. And the first 69 games, the Mets were 45-24, which was the best record in Major League Baseball. Remember that? I remember talking about it on The Fan. I remember how, you know, proud the Met fan was of their home field advantage of what this team could be because Juan Soto wasn't hitting yet. Remember that? Wait till Juan Soto gets hot. And in the last 77 games, they're 31-46. That's the third worst team in the National League. Like, they're not a good team right now. They're disconnected right now. And the next step is they're going to question leadership in Carlos Mendoza and then leadership in the clubhouse. Juan Soto said Marte is the leader. David Wright Day, I thought that they were going to pass the torch from David Wright to Francisco Lindor as the captain. Juan Soto's definitely not the captain or leader. You know, I heard Evan talking about Juan Soto. I didn't make so much of that last night. But, like, actually after he played Keith Hernandez, which I didn't hear Keith Hernandez call. I was listening to the game and then, you know, looking at the at-bat app. But, like, I didn't make so much of Juan Soto going to get that 30th base, but it was selfish. It was on brand. It was a me move. He got another one tonight. He's at 39 homers and 31 stolen bases. You know he's out there for the next 16 games strictly to get to that 40-40 club, which is impressive. Which you can't be mad at. But you'll be mad if you have a 40-40 club guy that does not get to do what he's brought here to do. I've said it 100 times on The Fan. Last year, the first game of the Yankees' path to the World Series, I wore my Yankee jersey and I wore my generational Juan Soto shirt. And why I did that, I said, because this year is different. We have Juan Soto, where if Judge goes cold, if Glaber can't get it done, if Jazz is striking out, if Stanton isn't doing it, this guy is immune to all of that. This guy has a ring already. Get this guy into the tournament. It will be unforgivable if David Stearns, Steve Cohen, and the New York Mets in this first 40-40 season of Juan Soto at age 26, we don't get to see him put the team on his back. We don't get to see him be clutch. We don't get to see him be a stone cold killer in the wild card round and beyond. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Howard in Belmore on The Fan. Hello, Howard.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How's it going?
It's gone.
Listen, very upset Mets fan, as most are prior this seasoning. My reason for calling is Mendoza. Very disappointed in Carlos Mendoza. And his performance this year. And I really think that he's not the right guy to lead any Met team to a championship. And this is why, in my humble opinion, early last year, the team started slow out of the gate. What was it, 0-5, 0-6, or whatever the situation was.
Yeah.
It was a miserable April, went into May. J.D. Martinez came onto the roster. We know who J.D. Martinez is. a veteran, well-respected, had a definite impact on the team. Alonso, during that during the 24 spring training, actually mentioned how excited he was to have Martinez in the lineup with him.
Right.
And once he came on board, the Mets kind of took off a little bit. They were consistent with their offense. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me. And then they went ahead and they brought up a guy named Jose Iglesias.
Yeah. And let me stop you for a second and add something. I listened to J.D. Martinez on a podcast, and you remember he had the back issue, so he had to kind of work his way, you know, into the season, and he did that in the minors, and that's where he saw Candelita, Jose Iglesias, and this song. And supposedly he told Mendoza and the organization, hey, call this guy up. He's just going to be good for the clubhouse. Call this guy up. He's a character. He doesn't stop talking. He's got energy. They need something like that now.
Yeah, well, Keith, if that's the case, then we know who our new manager should be. And David Stern should be on the phone calling J.D. Martinez after this season. I don't even know if he announced his retirement yet.
Well, when they fire Eric Chavez, there's your first candidate to be the hitting coach.
Yeah, but my point is, Keith, just to wrap it up, is now they don't have that, you know, that fire, that confidence coming inside the locker room. And Mendoza, if he was, you know, I'm sorry, I keep on referring to Davey Johnson. May he rest in peace, he just passed. But I think Davey Johnson would have this team prepared every single day and have a mission, a vision and a message that would resonate with the New York Mets baseball team. Because at the end of the day, I just don't think Mendoza's cutting it. I'm not going to say he's from the Yankees cloth and the Aaron Boone cloth. But I think that between Mendoza and Stern's really, really poor decision-making both before the season and during the trade line and his evaluation of the assets that he had on the farm, whether he brought them up too late, I don't know. And what the hell happened to this pitching staff?
Thanks for the call, Howard. Yeah, I'll say this about Mendoza. With the pieces that Stearns has provided for him, he has used them wrong. He has put the wrong pieces into the puzzle at times where it's not the right fit. It doesn't make sense. We've seen that this week. Just last night, I was rattling off how many close games the Mets have lost. Like, there's definitely some nerd that knows and that can help us out on Twitter that can look back at all of these Mets losses and how many of them were one-run losses or how many of them had guys thrown out at home plate or guys held at third base or not making the right decision to pinch run a guy or pinch running the wrong guy. Like, there's a few of those. You know, like, before they ended up losing three in a row here to the Phillies, Monday night, you got to get that run in to tie that game. And Sunday, you got to get that run in to tie that game. And if you go back to the Milwaukee series, they got swept by Milwaukee, but they could have swept Milwaukee. You know, if you watch those games, it wasn't like Milwaukee outclassed them. They were in all of those games. I was talking last night about them getting swept by the Guardians. But, like, they lost 7-6 on college night, that first game. And they held the runner. They held Tyrone Taylor. Sent, what are you doing? He's 95 sprint speed. You got to put pressure on Carlos Santana, who doesn't have the greatest arm, to make the throw at the plate and the catcher to make the tag. You could have walked them off there, and then you lose instead in extra innings with Manfred's man on second, 7-6. And then you go on to be swept by the Cleveland Guardians in your building. The next night, you lose 3-2, another one-run game. Even with that Giants series I'm looking at before it, that Friday night of the Giants series, a one-run game. They lost 4-3 in extra innings. That is going to be the tale of this season. There is somebody that is more of a numbers baseball savant guy and maybe a diehard Met fan that can go back and comb through the season. And you don't even have to go back to the beginning of the season. Just started in mid-June. And look at how many games they lost by one run and the decisions that stopped the run from scoring. 888-808-1019. Some of that is on Mendoza as the manager. A lot of that is also on personnel. Yeah, I'm still seeing him. I'm going back right now and looking. Don't even bother going to June, right? They lost another game. It doesn't matter. This exercise is no fun for anyone because where we're at right now with the Mets is like they're on panic time. They're on collapse alert. There's too many people talking about 2007, 2008. There's too many people talking about this is going to be an all-time disaster. And then when you ask Mendoza about it, like someone asked him, it was a young lady asked him, I was sitting in the car listening to the post game on Odyssey Mets radio. She asked him, is this team demoralized? He's like, no, they know where we're at. That's one thing with these guys. They're not going to give up. What do you mean they're not going to give up? Every game they're down. Every game they don't have a lead. I don't know. I don't know who is the guy to rally the troops in there. Lindor can't do it because he can't get a hit. Alonso, I don't know. Alonso might be a couple weeks from talking to Boris about opting out and how to get the bag for real, which I've already vocalized that. The Mets are in no position to even think about letting Pete Alonso walk. They're not good enough. They don't have enough hitters in the lineup. You talked about protecting Juan Soto in year one. You need to protect Juan Soto for the next 5 years with Pete Alonso. So, yeah, it is not a good spot to be in as a fan. I think I was listening to a fan earlier today, and they were talking about, or maybe it was BT and Sal, and they were talking about, you know, oh, who would you rather be right now? You know, the Mets who are in it versus, like, the Reds or the Giants. The Reds or the Giants. Both teams, like, come on. It's the Reds and the Giants. The Reds are never anything. The Giants sold off. Didn't even think they would be here. You don't want to be the Mets team that, like, we were talking about how many wins they were going to have this year. They're going to hit the under. We were talking about World Series with this team. We were talking about some Mets town now. We were talking about a dynasty. We were talking about them beating the Dodgers. We were talking about them having the best lineup in baseball. We were talking about Jeremy Hefner in this pitching lab and how their pitching is just outperforming anything we ever expected. And the bullpen was better, and then they made moves at the deadline. That day that they got Rodgers and Helsley, they won that day, the day before the deadline. And we sang David Stern's praises. It's very similar, Spider-Man meme, Yankees and Mets, but in different ways. Like, because the Yankees are going to make the postseason. The Mets aren't a lock for it. But there are numbers out there that tell you they have an 85% chance or whatever, but that number is shrinking every day. The Yankees not winning the division and making a wild card, I don't know, it is what it is. You know, the Yankees always make the postseason, but the Mets, like, it should be much louder. I was saying this weeks ago when they were both losing, and I was saying that the Yankees were shielding the Mets. It is a much bigger story for the Mets to go out and sign Juan Soto, the Mets to have this high of a payroll, for the owner to be talking World Series, for the owner to challenge the fans to come out, and if they miss the postseason, it is all-time bad. It is one that, like, will be talked about forever. So, yeah, that's all I've got on that. They've lost five in a row. They just lost the series, can't win the series. Don't get swept, and then come home to your building where those tickets are sold already. You know, don't come home to your building as they're talking about celebrating 3 million fans. And, you know, you got Jacob DeGrom versus Jonah Tong. This lineup versus Jacob DeGrom, the same Mets fans were giving Gavin Williams a standing ovation after his almost no-hitter. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to say it, man. 888-808-1019. I got some Yankees calls. I'm looking for some Mets calls, but I'm telling you, we got another hour here. It is Thursday. It is September 11th. If you were a New Yorker in the surrounding area and you were old enough to be, you know, able to remember 9/11, you already know where we are as far as thoughts and prayers and emotions and feelings and going back to that time. It is September 11th, and you know, I mentioned the current events going on in our country. I didn't even know who Charlie Kirk was. Straight up, I'm not into that. Like I had no idea who he was. I went live today walking into the stadium, and people were throwing RIPs into my chat. And I'm like, I honestly thought they meant they were writing Christian Kirk. I'm like, I'm such a sports guy. I'm not a politics guy. I had no idea who this guy is. And then in Yankee Stadium, they put his face on the big screen. I'm like, oh, I have seen that guy before. And the video is all over social media where, like, what is going on, man? We're in a world now where, like, this stuff doesn't get censored. This stuff, like, kids are seeing this type of stuff. He got shot in broad daylight, like, at an event. Crazy. And then, you know, they're putting that on, they're putting him on the big screen at Yankee Stadium. And then if you're going to Yankee Stadium today, they're telling you, you know, 4 o'clock, be there. You know, the stadium gates will open to ticketed fans at 4 p.m., 3 hours before the first pitch. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I also was scrolling Twitter, and Twitter is the worst. It's a cesspool. But I saw this girl get stabbed on a bus. And we're in New York. We've all, I won't say we've all, but most of us have been on the buses, the subways, public transit, whatever. It's scary, man. So as we are now rolling into 9/11, I'm just praying for people tonight and, you know, hoping that we're able to entertain and, you know, give people a break. And as much as we stress about the Yankees and Mets, and as much as we go hard about our teams and, you know, the Mets collapsing and the Yankees not being able to, you know, score outside of home runs and the bullpen imploding, like, we are in a strange time, man, in America with what is going on. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 1 hour left. We'll mix in some NFL Week 2 talk into the conversation before I get out of here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Fan.
Hey, everyone. It's Boomer and Geo. And if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation. And believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo. And you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.